Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans. Send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th. And never miss a meme or milestone. All protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at WhatsApp.com.
Doug. Limu and I always tell you to customize your car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. But now, we want you to feel it. Cue the emu music, Limu.
Save yourself money today. Increase your wealth. Customize and save, we say.
That may have been too much feeling.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Tonight's the first date that's been weeks in the making. Hair? Done. Nails? Done. Every square inch of your body? Exfoliated. Then you see it. A pesky pimple the size of a respectable mountain. The good news? Mighty Patch Pimple Patches can absorb gunk in just 6 hours. Patch the problem area and shrink the look of whiteheads faster than your makeup skills could anyway. Shop Mighty Patch at all major retailers.
Speaking of the current Patriots quarterback, let's go to the guest line where Drake May is waiting for us on a Patriots Monday. He is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with 6 New England offices, or at northeastmenshealth.com. By Windward Mental Health, start your healing journey now at windwardmentalhealth.com. And by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Drake May, have you come down from the high of that great game and that great victory last night?
Sure, it was awesome. Yeah, I think it was awesome. I think just you're gonna keep going. You know, work on next week. You'll work on getting back and playing. You know, winning football in consecutive weeks. That's our mindset.
Okay, I got to ask you, Drake. So a lot of key signature plays last night. A lot of highlights people have been sharing on TV, social media, and beyond. But third quarter, we'll call it the throw. The throw to Diggs. You're rolling to your right. You throw a 35-yard laser that bends around the defense and into Diggs' hands for the first down, setting you guys up inside the red zone. Do you guys practice it like that, or was that like a little bit of what you guys are developing together mixed in with some signature Drake May recess ball?
Yeah, I think it's just continued play. I mean, he saw me point and adjusted his route about as quick as I've seen. Made a great catch on the sideline, and it's continued work scramble drill. You know, I think it's a big thing. You know, had some more opportunities throughout the game in scrambles drill that we thought we did a good job of, and we had some more opportunities that I feel like, you know, on film, looking back on, you know, we missed on and still can improve on.
So I'm going to be honest with you. I wasn't even sure Stephon Diggs would be on the field at this point when you guys signed him in the offseason. Veteran receiver, post 30, torn ACL, and now he's got consecutive weeks with 100 yards, 146 yards last night, caught 10 of 12 balls thrown his way. Have you been honestly pleasantly surprised with what he's brought to the table coming off such a major injury?
You know what? I think just by the way he works and the way he loves ball, you know, I'm really not surprised. I think he comes in here and his mindset from the time we signed him was, yeah, I want to be ready to go, you know, week one, and he's just been continuing to, you know, get better and better and keeps, you know, looking better and better, you know, out there on the field and just get more and more comfortable. And he's a great player, so it's fun to have him out there with us.
So describe for us what the week of practice and preparation was like. Obviously, when you have to elevate your effort and intensity on the national stage against a division rival who you've been compared to, everybody's watching. Was the practice and preparation leading up to last night's game as fiery and feisty as the effort you guys put forth last night?
Yeah, you know, we just try to simulate the crowd noise. You know, try to have a, you know, focused practice. You know, I think we still didn't think we play our best ball. And I think the biggest thing is that we found a way to win. We found a way to win in a tough environment on the road, a division opponent. That's the big thing. But like I said, I think we still have, you know, our best ball to put forward, and that's what we're looking forward to.
Drake May, quarterback, New England Patriots, here on a Patriots Monday on WEEI Afternoons. For you personally, and the game as a whole, it was the game was sort of, there were turnovers and punts in the first half, then a little mini shootout kind of developed in the second half. But for you personally, it seemed like, you know, the pressure was getting to you a little bit in the first half. You were a little skittish back there. And then the second half, you were borderline perfect. Did you make adjustments? Did you just sort of settle into the flow of the game? How do you explain how things came together so nicely in the second half for you?
Yeah, I think just you know, using my teammates. I thought the O-line played you know, great all night, protecting me. You know, I think the pockets were good, and you know, just finding, you know, just in the second half, you know, making adjustments and just feeling like, hey, we can, you know, make some plays in the guys. There's some stuff open downfield, just giving them a chance. And really, in the first half, I think we just hurt ourselves, and credit to our defense for playing such a, you know, great game overall and great first half. We should have, you know, had a bigger lead going into the halftime.
Okay, so fourth quarter, tied 20-20, an incredible situation, an amazing opportunity for you guys, and potentially for a signature moment for you. You guys get the ball back, 2 minutes, 10 seconds left, tied 20-20, and you're about to lead your first fourth quarter signature game-winning drive for the Patriots. With that kind of crowd noise and that kind of hostility working against you, what did that moment feel like for you, Drake?
Yeah, just kind of work. You know, where else would you rather be? You know, Sunday Night Football, a chance to beat, you know, the Bills at their place, and the ball in my hands with a, you know, a field goal win. You know, I think that's what you, what you work in training camp and all those 2 minute drills for, and you know, work on, you know, throwing whole shots and, against cover two and little things like that. So I think that was you know, that felt good, and then go back out there and regroup and get back after it.
I'm going to guess it also felt good to stiff arm off a 320-pound defensive tackle and then be able to get the ball to Stephon Diggs out in the flat there. I'm wondering, though, on a play like that, in your mind, are you running like a risk assessment, risk-reward assessment? Because obviously when you throw in the flat like that, if you throw it to a defender, he's probably going to have a pick six. So are you balancing the risk there, or is that just instincts and you're trying to get the ball to your guy?
Yeah, just making plays. You know, I think.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Got pretty good eyes on, you know, where the defender's at before I throw it. So just trying to see, see our guys and see where defenders are at.
As far as Ramondre last night goes, obviously it's, you know, tough. There's the mistake early, and there have been the mistakes in a previous game, which were very costly, but then comes back and has a monster game, scoring two big touchdowns for you. It feels like that sends the right kind of message to the team, like, hey, if you make a mistake, you know, giving your best effort, that's okay, so long as you get back out there and keep grinding and working as hard as you can.
Yeah, it's just battle adversity. You know, I think it's sort of this league, sort of life. You know, if things doesn't go your way, just stay in it. And, you know, you made some big plays for us, and you know, two big touchdown runs. And, yeah, it's just part of it, part of football. You know, things not going to go your way every play. And I think he's just showed just kind of, you know, how much we need him and how much of a player he can, you know, he can help us. And he's a great player with the ball in his hands, so we're not going to keep the ball out of his hands.
Going back to those series of plays at the end of the second quarter down on the goal line, I think it was 4 seconds maybe you had first and goal there, and you had the quick throw to Hunter Henry, who just quite couldn't haul it in. What was that situation like? That seems like pretty intense clock management situation. And were you trying to advocate to go for it again with 1 second left, or do you think that's a good situation to take the points, get the lead at halftime?
This episode is brought to you by White Claw Surge. Nice choice hitting up this podcast. No surprises. You're all about diving into tastes everyone in the room can enjoy. Just like White Claw Surge. It's for celebrating those moments when connections have been made and the night's just begun. With bold flavors and 8% alcohol by volume, unleash the night. Unleash White Claw Surge. Please drink responsibly. Hard seltzer with flavors. 8% alcohol by volume. White Claw Seltzer Works. Chicago, Illinois.
At Sierra, discover great deals on top brand workout gear, like high quality walking shoes, which might lead to another discovery.
40,000 steps, baby. Who's on top now, Karen?
You've taken the office step challenge a step too far. Don't worry, though. Sierra also has yoga gear. It might be a good place to find your zen. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
Yeah, I think just knowing how much time's on the clock, the pass play, knowing trying not to, trying to save two plays or, a play and a field goal, and just know, trust the coaches, whatever they think, and just try to execute the play, and probably should have gave Hunters a little more time, but it's hard with 4 seconds trying to get it out quick. So,
did you before his big kick, which obviously turned out to be the game-winning kick? Speaking of people who have battled through adversity and then now come out on the other side of history, did you get a chance to talk to Borah Gallis? And if so, did you offer him any words of encouragement?
No, you don't talk to a kicker before a game winner. That's kind of a rule, a good rule to go by for a game winner. So just let him be and do his thing.
Patriots quarterback Drake May here on WEEI Afternoons. I wanted to ask you, I know a lot of people believe playing quarterback in the NFL is about consistency. Like, you're all talented guys, you can all make plays, but it's who can do it consistently week to week. And you've put up 4 tremendous performances in a row here. Do you feel like, though, beyond the big plays and the scrambles, do you feel like you're playing the position more consistently as a young, developing quarterback?
I think you're just learning the offense. I think just, learning this league and learning, just take what the defense gives you. And when they give you big plays, just go for them. So just learning this system, trying to know it. And another year playing with these guys and playing more and more games with Steph and the new guys. Just another year under my belt and just try to, learn every week and, approach it as a new week and try to go 1-0 this week.
Drake, it looked like some of your teammates were kind of wilding on Instagram Live after the game in the locker room in Buffalo last night. Did you think about popping open Instagram to join the party, or did you just enjoy the scene and all the energy that was in there?
I didn't even see any of the guys. I know they were fired up and dancing, so I'm just glad and exhausted after the win and the emotion. So just glad that those guys are. I have some fun, but we got to be smart.
Speaking of fired up, Diggs was one of those guys dancing, and his knee looks healthier than ever when he's dancing, celebrating in a post-game locker room. How much juice did he bring, I guess, all week long? He kind of talked about how it was just a big week for him. He was really looking forward to going back to Buffalo, and then we got a little insight to it. He did the pregame interview. He was clearly jacked up on the sideline and on the field. How much juice did Stephon Diggs bring last night?
Yeah, he brings it. I think he brings it every game. He brings it every week, and a little more last night after he returned. One of his former teams, but he does a great job of getting us going every week, and getting us fired up to get out there and compete and play for each other.
Obviously, now 3-2, winning record, a lot of momentum coming off of 2 wins in a row. Next game up for you guys, you go on the road down to New Orleans. New Orleans just got their first win of the season, defeating the Giants yesterday. What do you do this week to make sure that you don't get too caught up in the high of the big win in Buffalo, but rather can sort of reset, turn the page, and focus on the opponent and task at hand?
Yeah, I think you flush it. We just watched the tape, so just flush it. You'll learn from it and know that another tough opponent on the road that got a tough piece to play, and like I said, they just came off the first win, so they're going to be fired up, and got great coaching staff, and got some good players on defense, so looking forward to head down there and get back after it.
Team social media posted the visual of the post-game locker room, and one of the things Coach Vrabel said was something to the effect of protect or defend your identity. That's what it's about moving forward. What does that mean to you when he asks you to protect the identity of the Patriots? What does that mean?
Yeah, just put it on tape. Put it on tape. Effort and finish and playing hard and playing for each other and having our back out there on the field. It's us versus everybody else. And just playing for each other, having each other's back, and just having confidence in not only yourself but your guys, your teammates around you.
I think Drake, if I'm not mistaken, also at the end of the game, NBC. I'm not sure if anyone has showed you a screen cap or maybe the video of it afterwards. That looked to be the most fired up that I've seen you on the sideline since you became a professional last year with the Patriots. Did you find yourself getting swept up in the emotion of the climax of that game and the outcome?
Yeah, I think it's the first game winning field goal kind of in the NFL. I think it's a good feeling, and you know, getting a win on the road against a big time opponent is huge. And just proud of the guys and proud of the finish.
Are you getting more comfortable in your own skin? And what I mean by that is, you know, for the last year plus, you were going through the pre-draft process, the combine process. Then you're in a new place. You're competing for a job. You're the first time. Now you're winning football games. You got a winning record. You've been the starter for a while now. Are you just kind of settling into who you are as an NFL quarterback in person?
No, I think I've really always had the confidence in myself to go out there and play. And to settle in a new environment, I think it's just playing for your teammates, getting to know your teammates, and getting to know the new coaching staff and the new area. So just finding ways to, like I said, every week, treat like a new week and know that this NFL and this league is tough any week. So just approach it that way.
All right, before we get to the quarterback question of the week, I got to ask you, have you been following your Tar Heels with what's going on down there? Obviously a disappointing loss to Clemson. Any reaction to that as an alum?
I tuned in the game a little bit. I know it's the first year with the new staff, a lot of new players. I know they'll figure it out down there. So just try to do my best to support any way I can. And guys that I know down there, and just say, hey, it's a long season, and just keep going, shoot. I think it's tough, so.
All right, it is time now for the quarterback question of the week, brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health, with 6 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. And this comes from Bill in Billerica. And the question stems from a comment I actually heard you make last night, where you said something to the effect you grew up with your brothers and your dad talking about you always wanted the ball in your hand with the game on the line, regardless of what sport it was, basketball, football, whatever. And I was wondering, what's your greatest memory of that situation, whether it's youth sports, high school sports, college, of that end of game situation with the ball in Drake May's hands?
I think the probably greatest moment of kind of our family was really my brother, hitting a big time shot in the Elite Eight. I think playing Kentucky, and he was kind of a reserve backup player. He was in there at the end of the game, and he hit a game winner. So just the confidence in himself, and really just learning from my older brothers, and just knowing that at the end of the game, with the game on the line, that's what you want, and that's what you play for.
Did you add one to the list there last night with the tie game in front of the Bills Mafia, Josh Allen, you drive to the game-winning field goal? Is that on the list now?
I think game-winning touchdown is different. I think game-winning field goal is more team-oriented and Big Andy with the big play. So that's just the two-minute drill, and that's the process of getting him down there and letting him do his thing.
All right, Drake, appreciate you joining us. Congrats on the big win in Buffalo. We got a little winning streak here, too. Let's see if we can make it 3 in a row when we talk to you next Monday. Good luck.
Have a good one. Go Pats.
What's up, guys? I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. We're heading towards the home stretch of the WNBA season, and there is so much to get into every episode. Twice a week, I'm joined by one of my amazing co-hosts as we dissect the biggest games, performances, and even some off-court drama. The playoffs are quickly approaching, and now is the best time to tune in. Who will come away as this year's champion? The competition is heating up, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.